Service with believer's baptism. And I'm so grateful today that Haley Hazlett comes to be baptized. Haley, we're all so very proud of you, and what an exciting day this is for you, for me, for your family, for each one of us here. Haley, I always ask folks as they come into these waters, is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? And upon your profession of faith in him, I baptize you, my sister, In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today is also a very special day. Anne-Marie Linville is coming to be baptized, but she's going to be baptized by her grandfather, Ira Linville. So at this time, guys, you all come ahead.
Special blessing to me. It's not every day or every Sunday that you get to baptize your family. Today it is for me, just that kind of day. This is Anne-Marie Linville, my granddaughter. Anne-Marie and I had a long discussion about this opportunity. She insisted this is what she wanted to do. She answered every question I could ask. And after we got through, she decided, yes, I want to obey God, right? And so she has to be baptized at the day of that day. Matthew 28, verse 19 says, "Go therefore, making disciples in all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." So Anne-Marie, I baptize you this day in that name. Says, "Teach them to obey all things that I have commanded." That charge is to us, we the people of Jesus Christ. Anytime that anyone comes to know Jesus and join the kingdom, that's what our responsibility is. So today I charge you that as well. I'd like to close with prayer and then with Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. Lord, it's a wonderful day. Anytime that we have people who come forward and say, "Yes, Jesus is my Savior." Father, I thank you that these two have come, and I look forward to the time that we'll see these waters stirred even more. That people would be coming to the kingdom and knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Guide us and direct us as we help these new Christians to become the kind of people that you want them to be. Heavenly Father, the kind of Christians that will carry out the will that you have for them, the plan for their life. Now, Lord, I ask that you bless the rest of this service, that we might hear and know and worship, that you might be glorified in all that we say and do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. What a great way to start the service this morning. Let's stand together as we worship. Shadow. Well, good morning. It's so good to see you here at the Forks. It's just a great day to be in the house of the Lord this morning. If you're visiting with us, thank you for choosing to worship with us this morning. You're our honored guest. There's a QR code on the screen behind me or on the pew front in front of you. We just ask you to take a moment, scan that QR code. We get to know you a little bit better. And at the end of the service, there's a special gift for you out here in the Welcome Center. We'd love to meet you, get to know you a little bit better. Also want to welcome those that are watching online. Thank you for choosing to worship with us this morning. Take a few moments and greet somebody around you and tell them how happy you are to see them this morning. Let's sing about the precious blood of Jesus this morning. Come on.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood.
All right, church, come on.
There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood.
King of kings and our Lord of lords. Whenever we need something, he is there to listen. He wants to talk to us. We just have to call out to him this morning. So as we sing this next song, whatever's going on in your life, know that you can call on him. Let's sing this together.
I need
one name that we can call on, and that's the name of Jesus. There's only one name that saves, and it's the name of Jesus this morning. Listen to the words of this song.
As morning dawns and evening fades, you inspire songs of praise that rise from earth to touch your heart and glorify your name. Your name is a strong and mighty.
Like, I remember when my father, Henry Blackaby, first wrote Experiencing God, people would come up to us all the time and tell us how life-transforming it was. And they would say things like, I've gone to church all my life, but I've never experienced God this way, or I never knew God could communicate with me that way, or that he was real in a personal way to me.
People would say to him, I've always wanted to know how I could experience the God in my life that I know about in my head.
I find especially today, there's so many people that have a barrenness in their walk with God. They go to church, but it seems empty. They read their Bible and they get distracted. They try to pray, but they're bored by it. And they'll say, surely to relate to Almighty God, there ought to be more to it than this.
Yeah, people don't want a dead religion. They want something that is personal, something that is meaningful, and really something that they can relate to in a more relational way that is more than just what I read or memorize or recite. And I think the message of Experiencing God has helped people to know that God's not just out there somewhere. He actually wants to relate to you in your own life.
Oh.
Have you ever read the Bible and then thought to yourself, it would be amazing if I could have lived in those times and had encounters with God the way those people did?
God revealing himself and communicating to people.
God sweeping people up into his eternal purposes.
God doing miracles in and through the lives of people.
God relating to people in a personal and life-transforming way.
We want to invite you to come with us on a journey as we discover how to experience God.
I am so excited that beginning next Sunday, we're going to be going through on Sunday mornings, Experiencing God sermon series. Many of you have gone through this discipleship study, but always a limited amount would be able to take the class. So I'm going to be preaching through the seven realities from experiencing God. And I hope you will make plans to be here and invite a friend to come as we experience God in a deeper, more meaningful way. But I am grateful that you're here today. What a great place to be. We've already experienced believers' baptism. A little bit later in the service, we're going to take communion. It's just a wonderful day to be in God's house. And I'm so grateful that we are a church that believes in the power of prayer. And if you feel led by the Holy Spirit, this altar is open. If you want to come and kneel, or you can stand. You can stand from your seat. People watching online can pray wherever you may be worshiping today. And I know we have folks in many different states and even other countries that watch us each week, and we're so humbly grateful for that. But if you would like to come today and tap into his life-giving, life-changing power, I invite you to come join me at this altar as we lift up our prayers together. Would you come pray with me today? May we pray together. God, what an awesome day this is. This is the day you have made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. But God, we're also so very thankful for Haley's decision and Anne-Marie's decision to accept Christ as our Lord and Savior and to follow through believers' baptism. May their baptisms be a witness for others who need to make that same commitment, even now, even today. Lord, I pray for each person gathered at this altar, for every person worshiping in this place, for those watching online. You know what we need even before we ask, but we come, Lord, crying out to you in our pain, in our sickness, in our grief. Lord, this morning we want to lift up the Ashcraft family and the loss of Jim, that you would comfort them, God, and strengthen them as they grieve. Father, we pray for the Arnold family and the loss of George, and ask, Lord, that you would comfort their family, that they might feel your presence and your strength and your peace. And Lord, we have others in our church family that have lost loved ones, and Lord, I pray that they might feel your peace and your comfort and your love as well. And Father, we have many who have been or still in the hospital, some recovering from surgeries, others facing surgeries still. God, would you anoint them and heal them if that be your will, that you would be glorified in and through the healing that we trust you to bring. Bless them, oh God, I pray. And give doctors and medical professionals wisdom to know how to care give. Father, we pray for many in this place, maybe that are battling private pain. It might be in a marriage. It might be in a work situation. It might be at school. It might be with a teammate. But God, we know that you are in control, even when things sometimes seem out of control. So God, I pray that if there are those here today that don't know you as Lord and Savior, that a song that's sung, a prayer that's prayed, your word that's proclaimed would draw someone to Jesus. Father, we pray a special prayer today for Israel as they have been under attack from Iran, and pray, God, for a hedge of protection and to be with our military personnel, God, and our country. Keep us safe. And God, really the message for the entire world is repent, that we all must repent and turn from our selfish, worldly ways and place our hope in the only one who can bring true salvation and peace, which is Jesus Christ. So, Father, we just pray that your Holy Spirit would continue to bless us in this church. What a wonderful church family this is. I and my family, we are blessed. And, Lord, I pray that we would never take you or the grace you have shown us for granted. And, Lord, I pray now that your Holy Spirit, again, would continue to move through everything we say and do. And we'll be sure to give you all the praise and the glory and the honor, for your name is wonderful. And we pray in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. This morning, if you have your Bible, would you turn with me to Luke chapter 13? And I'm so grateful again for each of you being here today. And after the reading of God's word, our choir and instrumentalists will come to lead us, and I know a beautiful song, but at this time we'll begin reading with verse 10 of Luke chapter 13. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue leader said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites! Doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. This is the word of the Lord, and blessed be the name of the Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you all for leading us so beautifully, and we feel that spirit, of course, in this very place. I always like to begin with a little humor to get us ready to hear more important things, and I thought since the Masters was going on, it'd be appropriate to use a little golf humor to mix up things, but y'all might recall the story. There were two friends playing golf, and they were on the 11th tee getting ready to tee off when a funeral processional passed by down the road next to the golf course. Well, one of the golfers immediately took off his hat, placed it on his heart, and lowered his head. His friend said, "That is really nice to see." He goes, we're living in a day and time where people have lost a lot of respect. He goes, "I think that's great that you're showing respect for the deceased." And the friend responded, he said, "Well, it's only right that I should do this. After all, I was married to her for 35 years. Anyway, it was his wife's funeral. Anyway, this past week has been a crazy week. And I don't know if you can relate. Sunday night, I received a text from my son Isaiah saying, "Dad, Coach Cal is gone." And he, hold your applause. Come on, let's keep it up here. And he said, rumor has it that he's going to Arkansas. And I thought, surely not. And then Monday morning, first thing when I get up, I receive a call that one of our fine members, Jim Ashcraft, had passed away and had gone to be with the Lord. A little bit later in the day, the rumors began to swirl about who was going to be the next coach at the University of Kentucky. You know, Scott Drew is a leading candidate, and then some were even saying Danny Hurley, and others were saying, you know, hey, if we could get Billy the Kid, Billy Donovan from the Bulls, you know, and all these rumors going on. And then we had the eclipse, the big blue eclipse, maybe. But I went out front of the church with a couple of our staff members and one of their husbands, and we watched the eclipse. As I was watching from my office some of the coverage, the media coverage, some people thought that it was the end of time. There were some folks visibly moved with emotion, some crying. Some of the media were weeping. They said, I can't describe how I'm feeling as the eclipse was taking place. Then on Tuesday, I see a video made by Coach Calipari, and then later on his wife Ellen saying their goodbyes to Big Blue Nation. And honestly, it was kind of sad. And he talked about it was time for a new voice to be heard and to lead. And so on Wednesday, again, more rumors swirling about who the potential coach is going to be. Even had some to throw out the name that Rick Pitino had been seen in Lexington. And I was like, okay, well, you know, I don't know if we're there yet. But anyway. And so as all this was going on after church Wednesday night, my wife and I went home and we watched a replay of Coach John Calipari being introduced as Arkansas's new men's head coach there at Arkansas. And again, it was kind of sad. And then it was kind of funny watching Brad Calipari and Ellen Calipari and then later on John trying to call the Hogs with Sue. What is it called? Pig Suey. Now, like, that just doesn't look right. And then on Thursday, after kind of a roller coaster of a week, Thursday morning I was meeting with the family in my office. You never know when you're meeting with someone, maybe what it's about. It's a new family. It's been visiting the church. And I was delighted, humbled and thrilled that this husband and wife both prayed to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior in my office. And again, when you think about some of what has been going on and you think about people passing, people giving their life to Christ, it puts things in proper perspective of what's most important. Then later on Thursday, Coach Mark Pope was announced as the incoming heads men's basketball coach at University of Kentucky. And again, like many of you, I was, I don't know. But, you know, hey, it'll be okay. He's one of our boys. You know, he'll do it. He'll do fine. And I keep telling myself that. He's going to do fine. And then on Friday morning, my first call of the day, was a call from a church member saying that another one of our fine members, George Arnold, had had a massive stroke and was barely hanging on. And my wife Kelly and I were able to go to the hospital and pray with the family. And it was a little bit later in the day that he would pass from this old world into his eternal reward. And again, just a roller coaster of emotions. On Saturday, yesterday, came here and it was a beautiful wedding right up here. It was beautiful, a fine young couple. They both are Christians and I was honored to officiate as they shared their vows with one another. After the wedding, I got to go with my brothers and their wives to celebrate my brother Tim's birthday. And we had a great time coming together as brothers and family to celebrate my brother's birthday. And while we were there to eat, my oldest brother Terry came in. He said, Iran has bombed Israel. And again, the roller coaster, I'm like, what? I mean, what is happening here? What is going on of the week's emotions? Now, I shared this at the early, and I want to share it with you. You never know when you come into this place what kind of week the person sitting next to you, in front of you, behind you,
up on this platform have had. You many times don't have a clue what's been going on. And I don't know what's been going on. Maybe you can say you've had a crazy week this past week. Maybe you've had trials and you've had pain. Or maybe you've had nothing but thanksgiving and praise. But in our scripture passage today, we meet a woman who had been crippled by a spirit. And we learn in a little bit more about that, but she had been crippled by a spirit, even though there was no doubt she probably was in pain, even though she had heard the whispers, she heard the voices, she had seen the stares, she thought it important enough to be in God's house to worship. And I feel like sometimes, again, when people come, we don't know what baggage they're carrying. We don't know what pain is filling their life. But they're here trying to worship God. And you know what happened? And you're here today. And you know what happened while she was at that synagogue for worship? She had a life-changing encounter with Jesus Christ. You know what our prayer is? That when people come through these doors and they come into this house of worship, that you too would have a life-changing encounter with Jesus Christ. That's our prayer. That you would leave here differently than how you came into this place. And so there's no doubt that this lady, after all these years, and again, in her condition that she was in, there's no doubt people knew who she was. Oh, there she is. She was labeled. And again, the whispers, the voices she would hear. But then she heard a new voice. Just as Coach Cal said it was time for a new voice, maybe it's time for you to hear a new voice, that you quit listening to the devil's lies. And you start listening to the one who gives us life and gives us hope. She came because she was in despair, but she was looking for hope. And I pray today that if you are looking for hope, you've come to the right place, because through this scripture, we must, if we want hope and life, we must come to the right source. We must come to the right source. It says in verses 10, 11, and Jesus was in the synagogue on the Sabbath teaching, and there was there a woman who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. I imagine she had tried all the doctors and they couldn't help her. She had tried all the family members. They could not help her. She had tried the different institutions. They couldn't help her. She tried community help groups. They couldn't help her. And so finally, she understood the importance of coming to the right source. What about you when you feel crippled by a spirit, when you feel crippled by a substance, when you feel crippled? And I don't know what you're crippled by today. You might be crippled by alcohol. Maybe you're crippled by a drug. Maybe you're crippled by depression. Maybe you've been crippled by anxiety. You've been crippled by panic attacks. You've been crippled by some fear. And maybe longer than 18 years. Maybe it's been 18 years. Maybe it's even been longer that you've been crippled by some kind of spirit. And you're hoping and praying that you can come to the right source and that you can find deliverance from this ailment, this spirit that has been crippling you. And I just think today of all the people that are paralyzed by some type of spirit that's dominating and ruling in your lives. And we must know today that you don't have to keep living this way. That we come to the right source is which when we come to Jesus Christ to be delivered from that. And I know today that, again, I pray that you would be bold enough to turn that over to Jesus and allow him to begin to heal you from the inside out. You know, I think about all the scriptures where Jesus, when he arrives, he makes everything better. You know, I think about out of Matthew chapter 17, there was a man's son which was about to be the devil's barbecue. He was there. He would have these massive seizures that would thrust him into the fire. But when Jesus came into the picture, the fires were put out. And this boy was healed from those convulsions and seizures. I think about in Luke chapter 5 when the disciples had been fishing all night and they hadn't caught a single fish. Then when Jesus got in the boat, they had the catch of their lives. They caught so many fish that the nets began to break and the boats began to sink. I think about in Luke chapter 7. There was a funeral march taking place. A widow's son had passed away, and then Jesus came and rained on their parade, so to speak, and he told that young man to get up. And the young man got up, and he began to talk, and they began to praise God. You understand, this woman came to the right source, and her life was changed. Who have you been going to, or what have you been going to? Let me guarantee you, if it's not Jesus, you're headed the wrong way. And you're going to have nothing but more pain and more regret and a deeper hole's being dug, and your tires are going to keep spinning until you are willing to come to the right source, which is Jesus Christ. Secondly, I want you to know this, that Christ sees you. Christ sees you. In verse 12, it said, when Jesus saw her, referring to the woman, he called her forward and said, woman, a title of respect, you have been set free from your infirmity. You know, when we feel hopeless, when we feel discouraged, when we feel depressed, when we feel afraid, when we feel alone, we think Jesus or no one else cares or no one else sees us or no one else can help us. Again, that's the devil's lie. Christ sees you and Christ sees me and he wants to help you and me. Do you remember in Matthew chapter 6, which is in the middle of that great Sermon on the Mount, which is chapters 5 through 7 and in particular, chapter 6, Jesus is talking about worry. You remember that? And then in verse 26, he says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And he said, do you not know that you are much more valuable than they? So we know that if he feeds the birds of the air and takes care of them, he's going to take care of you and me. And then we know, too, that if we, in 1 Peter 5, 7, cast all our anxiety upon the Lord, it says that he cares for us. Isn't that beautiful to know? If we cast all of our worries, all of our anxiety, all of our fears, all of our guilt, all of our sin, all of our pride, all of our mistakes, we cast it all upon the Lord. It says, he cares for you, which is a beautiful promise and a reminder. When we do that, that's what we receive. But then not only does Christ see us today, which I believe he sees us all. And did you notice it said when he saw her, he called her forward. There comes a time where we've got to move forward in our faith. We have to be willing to take that step. He gives us free will. God gives us a choice to come to him. That beautiful verse out of Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest." So we must take that step and come forward to him. And he said, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Isn't that beautiful? He said, "You are set free." She had tried all these other things, but it wasn't until she met Jesus personally and she started to listen to his voice, not all the other voices. She tuned them out and listened to him. She came forward and he said, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Last thing today, we must commit our lives to Jesus and praise him. We must commit our lives to Jesus and praise him. And in verse 13, it said, then Jesus took his hand and he touched her. And immediately this woman, again, for 18 years, all she could see was the dirt and the ground and people's feet. And again, the whispers and the stares and the humiliation. It said when Jesus touched her, immediately she straightened up. Isn't that a beautiful story? Immediately she straightened up. I shared at the early service, my dad used to tell my brothers and me when we'd misbehave, he said, "You better straighten up." And he'd lift that eyebrow. So, "You better straighten up, son." "Yes, sir, I'm straightening up." When Jesus touches our lives, we straighten up. When we allow Christ to come into our lives, we can't stay the same way that we were. Our lives straighten up and we begin to walk in newness of life. I think about that beautiful passage out of Psalm 42. It's that, "As a deer pants for water, so my soul thirsts for you, God." In verse 5, the psalmist wrote, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." Isaiah 40:31, "But those who hope in the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall soar on wings like eagles, run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not be faint." We put our hope and trust in God because when we commit to him and he straightens our lives out, then we must continue to praise him and glorify him for everything he's done for us and for everything he's blessed us with in our lives. I want to share this as we get close to closing this morning. You know, I told you, going back to the coaching scenario, and let me tell you, I'm excited for Louisville that they have a new coach. I thought it was funny that that coach said that he wasn't his wife's first pick either. And so, so anyway, that's what he said. And I'm excited about the UK women's coach. I'm excited for them. He's bringing a lot of energy, and I think he's going to do great with our ladies team. And one of the things that changed my heart a little bit about the announcing of our new basketball coach is Kelly and I, as we were coming back from the hospital on Friday, I heard an interview from Matt Jones from Kentucky Sports Radio with athletic director Mitch Barnhart. I don't know if any of y'all heard that, but in that interview, it kind of changed my perspective. He talked about how Mark Pope said when he first came onto Kentucky's campus that it changed the trajectory of his life and that he was so excited and humbled. And Mitch Barnhart said in a beautiful way, even when Matt Jones tried to get him to talk about the past couple, 3 years, what our weaknesses was, he goes, "I want to focus on the future. And I want to focus on moving forward." And Mitch Barnhart said, I want the spotlight to be on the championships up in the rafters, those banners that we've won. And we're focusing on that name on the front of our jersey and bringing more championships together here. Anyway, after listening to that, I'm not going to lie, you all. People had tears with the eclipse. I was emotional listening to sports radio. That's how passionate I was, you know. And then after I heard that Coach Mark Pope was being interviewed, I understand, and I know some of y'all, I already had some at the early, said they were going to welcome him today at 4:30 at Rupp, and I heard there were shirts made that our hope is in Pope, talking about the program, and I thought that's neat, and that's all good and all, but I want to tell you something. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. I'm excited about that, and I don't know if any of y'all saw the video, but I just want to say to you today, once again, my hope is in Jesus Christ, and I'm going to do something right now that you all may or may not appreciate. I want to tell you, may we always be a Jesus first church, and may we be second on the back. May we always be Jesus first, and I'm going to do my best to lead you in this cheer. May we pray together. Oh God, we are humbled by your love of us and your promise to be with us. And Lord, I can't imagine what so many people are going through today. And Lord, I left out when I was praying for people that had lost loved ones. I left out my friend Darren McDonald and the loss of his mom. And I know he's grieving, and I pray for him. And Lord, I pray for others who are battling private pain that don't understand why things are as they are. But God, we know your timing is perfect. Lord, I pray that as we sing this invitation in a moment, that some people would come forward in faith, trusting in you to straighten up their lives. And God, trusting in you for direction, trusting in you for decisions that have to be made. And God, at first, like we were, we may not be that excited about the plan. But Lord, after we think about it, after we pray on it, then we say, hey, I think this is good. That I believe with your help, God, we can have victory in our lives. Lord, I pray if there are some people that have never given their heart and life to you, may this be the day of salvation. Lord, I pray if there are some families that are looking for a church home, may they find a loving church here at the Forks. Lord, I pray if there are some Christians that have been sitting on the bench and they've grown complacent and now it's time to get in the game. I pray, Lord, today would be the day that we would come just like this lady, just as she was.
She wasn't straightened up until she came to Jesus, but she came just as she was, crippled by a spirit of Satan. And Lord, we know that even though the religious leaders, Lord, scolded the people, and we know that Jesus told them that you untie your donkey and your ox on a Sunday, should not this daughter of Abraham be healed on the Sabbath? Lord, this is our Sabbath. How awesome it would be if someone here today would be healed emotionally or physically or relationally or spiritually, God, that someone would be healed here today. So God, give us the boldness to move forward in faith, and we'll give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to invite you to come as we sing this hymn of invitation. Won't you come as we sing? It's not too late.
Thank you.
Amen. Would you be seated for a moment? I am so excited to introduce to you these that have come today, making decisions for the Lord first. I'm so grateful for, here it is, Grant Driscoll. Grant and Mom and Dad, y'all can come up with him. I'm so thankful that last night Grant prayed to receive Christ as his Lord and his Savior. And he wants to follow through with believers' baptism. And Grant, you hear me say, this is the most important decision any of us could ever make because it's the only one that lasts forever. Everything else is temporary, but this is the only decision that's eternal. And we want to pledge our love and prayers and support to you and your mom and dad as you grow in this newfound faith. So let's let Grant know that we love him. We're going to be praying for him by letting it be known by saying amen and applause. Bless you, buddy. You may be seated. And I'm so grateful for this couple that comes. First of all, Tim Beauchamp and Ruth Drake, if you all would come up beside me. I'm so grateful for this couple that's been coming here for quite some time. And I'm so grateful that Ruth said today was the day to move forward in faith. And we welcome you all and know the Lord has led you here. And we want to pledge our love and prayer support to you as you unite with this family of faith. Let's pledge our love and prayers and support by letting it be known by saying amen. Amen. Amen and applause. We welcome you all. You may be seated. Then I was grateful at the early service that Josh and Megan Adams' daughter Parker received Christ as her Lord and Savior. And so we give God all the glory for the great things he is doing in this church. And what a beautiful way to conclude this service. I'm going to ask you all at the end of the service, would you join me out in the foyer so people could just give you a warm welcome into this family of faith? But right now, we're going to prepare our hearts for communion. And there's and if you have not received a communion cup, we have deacons in the back. Just lift your hands, and they will bring you a cup. So just lift your hand, and if you're in the balcony, we have people up there as well, and they'll bring you one. Everyone is invited. If you know Christ, you don't have to be a member of this church. We just want you to be a member of the family of God. Out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" I can't imagine the pain he endured for you and for me. Yet he loved us that much. At this time, if you would go to the Lord in prayer with me as we bless the bread. Father, we ask that you would bless this bread as we remember your ultimate sacrifice, the only perfect person ever to live, and you were beaten and scourged and spat upon and laughed at, and all the while you were doing it for us. Please bless this bread, God, and may we always remember what you did. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after they ate the bread, they took the cup, May we go to the Lord in prayer. God, as we drink this cup today, may we remember the blood that was shed for the remission of our sins, that your love and grace covers a multitude of our sins. And we sang earlier about the power in the blood. And we thank you for your saving power, God, even when we don't deserve it. You love us anyway and save us. How can we ever thank you enough? Bless this cup in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus said, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." And I know after they ate, they sang, and we're going to sing in just a moment, but I'm grateful for all these decisions today, and I thank you for my brother in Christ, Patrick DeMerritt, who came for prayer, for strength, for he and his family, and for God's continued hand to be upon them. And just a couple of reminders. Jeannie Mitchell wanted me to remind you that the Control Girl Discipleship Group will meet at 5:50 tonight. You will be meeting. Also, if you were planning on going to the baby shower of our communications director, Jessica Schweitzer, that has been moved from today to Wednesday night at the conclusion of our meal. This isn't in place of, but in addition to, at the conclusion of our meal, before we come up for prayer meeting, we'll be honoring Jessica and her husband, Michael. There will be coffee and connections at 6 o'clock tonight. Thank you so much for being here today and allowing the Spirit of God. Our deacon of the week is John Hart. John's going to come and close us in prayer in just a moment. But right now, Sean, if you would close us in a song, let's stand and sing together as we celebrate what Jesus did for us.
There is power now.
Father, we are all crippled, Lord, by our own hearts and our own minds, Lord. And Father, we know that through you we have forgiveness, Father, and that we don't have to suffer anymore, Lord, no matter what it is. Father, I ask that you would just be with all of us as we go our ways today, Father. Watch over us and keep us safe, Father. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's holy name, Father. Amen. Amen.